Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. All right. The theme for today's message is See You in Court. And, boy, these Corinthians, they were some messed up group, I tell you. And Paul had written another, or a different letter that's not in the Bible to them. And so actually this is the second letter, and 2 Corinthians is actually the third letter. But he's trying to straighten out this church that had so much going for it. I mean, it really did. It had was very enriched with a lot of spiritual gifts. They would, in worship, really would many times be at a different level in the worship. And then they would mess it all up by having communion and having, they would, in those days, would have an agape feast, which is like a potluck. But they would bring their alcohol with them, and then they'd get drunk during the church potluck. Can you imagine that? And then it was time for communion. Well, it was not a very good thing. And then they had incest going on, and in this very vile city, they bragged about it. Hey, this is what one of our members is doing. They were bragging about it, the evil going on in this church. So obviously, Paul had his hands full when he heard all that was going on. So, and then he's trying to basically demonstrate his authority, because they said, well, what right does he have? Have you ever heard that before? Somebody said, well, you have no right to tell me what to do. So he was establishing his authority in this letter as well, and as well as trying to be humble about it, being humble and not trying to come over them, but trying to get them to change. And why did Paul want them to change? Because he didn't like them? Because he didn't love them? No. Because he loved them, right? As a good parent will do when they see their kids going the wrong way, or as you see a friend or a relative, if you love them, you try to correct them, you try to warn them lovingly, talk to them, right? To speak the truth in love. So that's what Paul is doing here. And now he has another issue that Paul has to deal with, because he hears that one member of this church is taking another member of the church to the secular courts for a lawsuit and suing them. And Paul goes, wait a minute here. Time out, people. Time out. Can't you take care of that among the church? Why do you have to drag that out in the courts, in the secular world? Why do you have to go down to Jefferson and do it? Why can't you do it here on Camelback? Can't you take care of it here, 7310 West Camelback? Why do you have to go downtown to a court and get everybody else involved? And then have Channel 10, Channel 5 News, because you know, whenever there's something with the church that's negative, there's the news. Oh, they can't wait to show that. And live, here's Amazing Grace Church, one person suing another. That wouldn't look good, right? And it's a terrible witness to the community, isn't it, when that kind of thing happens? So that's what Paul is getting at here. So the theme for the day is See You in Court. We're talking about that in two different ways. We don't want to say that in the church here. We don't want to say to each other, well, I'll see you in court. No. In fact, we have a little plaque there in the back of how to deal with sin when someone sins against you. Who do you go to? Do you go to your lawyer? Do you go to somebody else? You go to that person if you've been offended, and you straighten out with them. If that doesn't work, you take two or three witnesses. If that doesn't work, take the elders, and the church deals with it, right? Now, this is not talking about criminal matters, where someone were doing had a criminal offense against another member of the church. That's not, this is a civil matter altogether. This is not criminal. Obviously, we would call the police. We would have them involved in something of that nature, obviously. So, but Paul's talking about something totally different. And he's talking not just about the lawsuit, but the attitude of these people's hearts, right? It's say, I'm not going to be wronged. Nobody's going to take advantage of me, even in the church. I got my rights, Pastor. Well, you do and you don't as a Christian, right? Because, well, we'll talk about that later. Okay. So anyway, so as we look at this message, See You in Court, first of all, the world wants to be lawyered up. I never heard of that word before until about the last few years, because it's been so prevalent. People say, well, he's all lawyered up. They'll talk about somebody who's in the national scene, and they'll get the dream team of lawyers, one lawyer after another, well-paid, and they'll do all they can to drag things out and find little things to harp about and try to discredit the prosecution and the police, right? And they'll spend all kinds of money. And when we have someone that has this kind of a team, we'll say they're all lawyered up. Well, is that the way of the Christian? To be lawyered up? No. Who's our advocate? Jesus. Who's our counselor? The Holy Spirit, right? And who is our helper? The Lord. And yes, we have, and then he says even, that there's wisdom in and multitude of godly counselors, Proverbs. Not just any counselor. We want to have people who come to us with a word of counsel that's consistent with the Word of God, right? We have different attitudes, different motives in the world. At least, I hope so, do we? Hello? Do we? Don't sound very confident of that. We sure better, because in Romans 12, later on after Martha read it, says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold so we're just like the world. We talk like the world. We act like the world. We look like the world. We just kind of go right along with it. The Bible says, no. So we don't need to be lawyered up, okay? We don't need that. And Paul, that's what he's getting at here. He says, you know, just even the most insignificant person in the church who has little education, he could be the judge. And he's not putting anybody down in the church. He's just saying anybody in your church could judge it better than out there. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We know what the Bible says. And we look at life from a godly perspective, a biblical worldview, instead of the way of the world. So that's an advantage right there. If you come and as someone has a biblical worldview that knows God's words, that in the Word of God 15 minutes a day, and says, okay, this is what God says, that's the wisdom we are called to have, right? The wisdom of this world, the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this world. So that's what Paul's getting at here. And he said, you know, and he says something interesting. He says, and if you're to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? What is he talking about there? We're not supposed to judge, I thought. Well, the Bible talks about a different type of judging that will happen on the last day. It talks about in Revelation, and I'll just, let's see, read it, 20 verse 4. Revelation 20 verse 4, it says, I saw thrones in which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. Namely, in heaven, we will reign with Christ, sit on the throne in the temple courts. This is the court we'll see each other in. The temple, the courts of God, courts of heaven. Not the courts here in Phoenix, but the courts of heaven. In those courts of heaven, we will reign with Christ. And the Bible says we will judge the world. And Paul says, don't you know you'll judge angels? I almost feel like saying to Paul, no, I really didn't know that, Paul. You really haven't talked a whole lot about that. And he just assumes they all knew about that. And Paul is so up here, right? He's so smart and wise. I guess there's just a couple of verses that talk about the fact that we will judge angels. In 2 Timothy 2, it says, here's a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. And part of that reigning is judging angels, judging the evil of this world with Christ's authority, with Christ's wisdom. Does that make sense? So that's what Paul's getting. I said, look, if you're going to judge the world, if you're going to judge angels, what are you doing dragging each other to court and saying, well, we can't handle this. Let's go to Judge Wapner or Judge Judy or somebody else to take care of it. No, you don't need Judge Judy. You don't need any of that. Bring it here to this court, to God's court, to God's house, not some courthouse, God's house, right? And how sad to have such fractured relationships and have that kind of community in the church where people are taking sides over that court issue. Well, I'm for this family. Like the Hatfield McCoys, you know, I'm for this family. And it's dividing God's house. And a house divided cannot stand, right? So Paul is very concerned about the unity. I really feel for Apostle Paul here. He's got a lot on his hands with this one church, and he's got hundreds of other churches to take care of. So that's what he's talking about. He says, look, you can do this yourselves. Don't take it out there in front of unbelievers. Come on. You're better than that in Christ. So lawyered up is not the answer, is it? Now, continue in verse 7. Look at there. It says, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. So he's saying, why not just take the offense? Why not just turn the other cheek, like Jesus said? Why not just forgive and forget and move on? Why stand up and say, I have my rights? This is what I deserve. I got it coming to me. Well, did Jesus say that on the cross? What if he said that to us, right? I got my rights. I shouldn't have to put up with this with you people. And so we're called. Now, we are called to protect ourselves. Luther talks about this. Obviously, if there's something going on, we are to protect our property and our business. There's a balance, obviously, here. But when someone's coming in the church against us and there's going all this going on, there's this attitude of, well, I just got to take care of myself. Well, who takes care of us anyway? Yeah, we submit to Him. And again, the balance. You have to understand, obviously, there are situations where there are cases where we have to have wisdom and delicately and wisely take care of matters where one's wronged against the other. I remember in my vicarage in Chicago, Illinois, we were in a car accident the week before Christmas and a bunch of snow in Chicago, and it was awful. But one of the elders of our church worked at an auto parts place, and he said, "Oh, I'll take care of you, Pastor." And I was thinking, well, this is great, an elder of the church. I don't know anybody in Chicago. I never lived there before. I lived downstate. Never went up to Chicago, to the big city. I always stayed downstate, didn't know anybody. And we thought everything's fine until months and months later, I had to take the car in. And I forget the situation or the circumstance, but someone looked at the part that this elder had put in. He said, "He gave you a defective part." I go, "You've got to be kidding me. That was the elder of the church." He said, "Well, he gave it to you with one price, and it was this price, and it's defective." I felt so hurt, you know, that an elder of the church would on one hand take care of their young vicar, the young intern, and would take advantage of me. Because he knew, I don't know anything about cars, I still don't. So people, I'm like a lamb to the slaughter when I go into the car place, auto, whether it be for repairs or whatever it might be. And I thought, how sad that in the church all this happens. And that's what Paul's talking about here. So we look at this and we say, wow, what happened to this church here? And what happened to their attitude? And they were cheating one another. And just not a place. Can you imagine visitors coming into this place, right? It's a bad scene. All right, let's go on. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." And we've heard these verses before. Pastor Rick's talked about this as we look at the biblical worldview and what the Bible says versus what the world says. The Bible says, "Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And this is what some of you were. He's saying, if someone continues in, not if they did it at some time in their life and have repented, but if someone lives this lifestyle and is impenitent and living in this, they will not be going to heaven. They are excluded from the kingdom of God. And we've said this before. Pastor Rick said a lot. This is not our word. This is what God says. These are the standards He puts down. That's an automatic exclusion from God's kingdom when these types of sins are committed. That's just what God says. He's a holy God. We sing a lot about holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holiness is just as much an attribute of God's love. Justice is just as much His attribute as mercy and forgiveness, right? So He's got the holiness and justice of God. Otherwise, He wouldn't remain God, as well as the love and the compassion and the care that He gives us. So these are God's words. This is what He says. I didn't write it. He did. And He's saying, so this is not the way to live. To live like the world in the courts of prostitution, in the courts of the secular world. Rather, be in the courts of heaven. And He says this here. And this is what some of you were. But here's where the good news comes in. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. What Paul is saying here is that some of you were this way, but we love all people to Christ, right? All people, no matter what they've done. Is there any sin that's not forgivable? No. There's not. And I noticed on Calvary Chapel there are that big church along I-17, and it says, yes, Jesus, Jesus can forgive even that. Even that. The sin we think, oh, He can never forgive, He can forgive even that. His grace is greater than any sin, right? His mercy is greater than any iniquity, than any wickedness. And people say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I did. Well, no, you're right, I don't, and maybe I don't want to, but there is someone that knows it and is so loving and so gracious that He can forgive that. Otherwise, we're saying, well, we're limiting what God's grace is. Is there any limit to God's grace? Huh? There's no limit to God's grace, right? None. It's available for all. As long as we're still breathing, there is still an opportunity for us to repent and come back to Jesus Christ, just like Daryl, just like all of us. His grace is limitless. It's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. It's marvelous grace. It's wonderful grace. And there's the balance of not just saying, well, then I can do anything we want. No, you can't do that. You exclude yourself if you do that. But however, Paul says some of you were this way, but you've had this transformation, ever-changing adventure. Transformador, transforming adventure, the change. If there's no change in us, we have to wonder if we have the real faith. But we all have been changed, more like Jesus. So we're not lawyered up, but rather, we are cleaned up. Here it says that you were washed. See that? How are we washed spiritually? By the Word, the washing of the Word, by the blood of Jesus, both. The blood of Jesus, by the Word, we're washed clean, right? Baptism, this reminds us that we are washed. This water reminds us that we are cleansed and we are washed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we're cleansed from the inside. We sang the first song, that there was a reason that song was picked. Change me from the inside, right? From the inside. Not just the outside, from the inside, our sinful hearts. And Paul says, this is the good news here. You were washed. You were sanctified. Sanctified means set apart for God's purpose. It's like if you have fine china or beautiful crystal, you take that out for every single occasion. It's set apart for a special occasion. So also, you and I are supposed to be set apart for Jesus and to live for Him. And Paul, or Pastor Rick, will talk more about what Paul wrote next week on how our bodies even are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But we are set apart to be used by God. In the Old Testament, they have one place where God dwelt, right? The Holy of Holies, right? The temple. After that, God dwelt in people. So His glory, His Shekinah glory is inside you and inside me. So wherever you go, God's glory goes. So we want to live in such a way that we don't desecrate the temple. What if somebody came into our church and threw mud and ink and garbage all over this place? They would be desecrating God's house, right? Before they took the communion elements and abused them. Well, that would be desecrating this house that's set aside for God. Well, we shouldn't be desecrating our bodies and our souls and our spirits by what we see and think and do so that we desecrate God's house. This is God's house. Your body is God's house. He dwells inside you. So live like it, Paul is saying. Act like it and reflect God, right? He says, and live that life. And he says, you're sanctified, you were washed, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So instead of being lawyered up, we are washed up, we are cleansed, cleaned up, and we are prayed up, and we are powered up. My computer decided to go on the fritz this past Friday, and I can't get it to power up. I don't know what's going on with it. And in the same way, a lot of Christians are going like, what happened? I was working fine. I can't seem to power up now. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like witnessing. I'm kind of losing it. I feel kind of weak. So if we're not powered up, we have to find someone that will give us connectivity to Jesus, to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit, and show us where to plug in into God, into His Word, into Jesus Christ, into the Holy Spirit, and then we'll find a way to be powered up, right? Where we're cleaned up and we're powered up. Because notice here, what does he say? But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by who else? By the Spirit of our God. So Jesus washed us. The word justified is a legal term. It means to go into court and to be declared innocent. And we are declared innocent. When God sees you, He sees you as a saint, as holy, because of the blood of Jesus. Does that make sense? So it's not by your good deeds that you get to heaven. It's not at all. It's only by Jesus, by accepting what He did for us. And we accept that. God says, you're my child too. You're not guilty. And He pounds the gavel. And He says, not guilty. My child's not guilty because my Son paid for His crime. My Son paid for it by His death, by His blood. So you were justified. You were totally declared righteous in Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. How does the Holy Spirit help us to be powered up as Christians? So sermons, by hearing the message of God's Word through the pastor, just by His leading, He powers us up. Discernment. Okay, discernment, definitely. Discernment, where we know this doesn't feel right. Something in our gut, who is the Holy Spirit? It's not something, it's someone inside us here says, no, don't go that route. And we don't listen to that Holy Spirit sometimes, do we, that voice? God's inside us. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Right. Very good. and a person tries to live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit, they can't do it, right? Can't do it. So that's what you've said, Daryl, over and over, where you tried to stop doing certain things and you couldn't do it. And then you turned it over to Jesus and said, that's what I've been waiting for you to do. Say, I can't do it anymore. So have you gotten to the point where you're not trying to live a Christian life in your own power? Have you said, finally, the point, okay, Lord Jesus, you live through me, you live in me, instead of me trying to be this good Lutheran, good church member. That doesn't what God wants. He wants us to let Him live through us. And then the relationship we have with God is, instead of see you in court, it's see you in God's courts. Because we go to a higher place in worship. When we have prayer time, we're laying hands on people and worshiping, it's like we go higher into the courts of heaven. Because prayer is, as Pastor Rick wrote in his book, prayer is seeking the Lord, entering His presence through Jesus Christ, and having a heart-to-heart conversation with God, guided by the Holy Spirit, that leads to transformation. I love that. It's seeking the Lord, entering His presence, and having a heart-to-heart talk with God that leads to transformation through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt there are times where you went higher in your faith? It's like you just felt God's presence. You were, wow. Exactly. That's going into the courts of heaven, right? It's like all of a sudden the church on earth goes up to heaven, and one of the Spanish Christian songs we sing a lot talks about this writer saying, I'm not sure if heaven comes down to the church or the church goes up to heaven, but either way they come together. There's this holy moment where heaven and earth come up and we're lifted up like an elevator. When I go to the jail, I feel like the elevator to the jail service, to the chapel, that's not the only elevator I ride. Once I'm in the chapel, I feel like we all go on this elevator up on a higher level, completely higher level, where there's peace and love and this clear atmosphere, clear air of the Holy Spirit, and it's just perfect. It's heaven. And that's what we do. We come together. Hopefully we're lifting each other up, not like here tearing each other down and suing each other. Talk about opposite. Are we lifting people up? Are we exalting God and one another? Or are we putting them down? No put downs here, right? We don't put down people. We lift up Jesus and we lift up one another. And if we put anybody down, it's ourselves. We humble ourselves as Jesus did. So may that be our motivation. Well, this is a tough text. I mean, it's really hard. But God's Word is God's Word. And Paul is going through this tough section. Later on, he softens up in 2 Corinthians. But that's the whole context of it. And later in 2 Corinthians, he talks about the Holy Spirit and about the light of the glory of Jesus shining through these people. And he does see evidence that they listen to this tough message. And later on, they do repent. Thanks be to God. And may we hear this message. And may we continue to be powered up. We're going up higher in our Lord. Are we getting higher to God? Are we getting closer to you know where? Are we getting higher in our praise? Are we lifting ourselves up? Or are we being dragged down? And may the Lord continue by His Holy Spirit, by His Word, by Jesus, keep lifting us up as we lift up one another. In Jesus' name, amen. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask that You would help us to continue to lift up one another in prayer, to lift up one another in our love and support, Lord. But most of all, Lord, we want to exalt You and lift up Your name, that Your presence, Your name is what we glorify. Lord, we thank You for what You did for us on the cross, as we thank earlier, the old rugged cross, taking our sin, our filthiness, all our unrighteous deeds, all our evil thoughts and all that we've done in the past, and washing us clean, justifying us, sanctifying us, declaring us as one of Your children, Your precious children. Lord, help us to keep on the narrow path and forgive us for the times when we wander off. Help us to live in Your wonderful, amazing grace, Lord. And we pray for those that are caught in sin, that You would pull them out, Lord. And we thank You. And we thank You that You do hear us. In Jesus' name, amen.